Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's looking left. He's looking right. He's pumping. He is firing the football. And it is caught by Devontae Smith at the five. Another marvelous catch. He reached up, spun around, and brought it down with his right hand.
Fist pump time on the Fan Cam. Be careful driving out there. Shaw Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt on a conference championship Monday. Am I the only one? I didn't think that Devontae Smith play was as obviously incomplete as everyone else.
I thought it was a catch.
Even after
I thought it was fine. Yeah.
I thought it was pretty fine as well.
No. The ball slid out.
It did slide. I don't think it ever touched the ground.
It did. It just, he still had it pinned at the top, but touched.
But did he have control of it?
Yeah, no. That's the thing. Like they say it can touch the ground.
If but it's sliding, it's not control. It was like it was up here and then it slid down. So that's incomplete.
What'd you think, Peyton? Did you have any doubt, or when you saw it, you're like, that's incomplete?
Yeah, when I saw the replay, I was like, incomplete.
Shut up. We don't care. Be quiet. What a horrific mistake by Shanahan, though. That was really dumb. That was fourth down. It wasn't third down. It was fourth down.
Yeah.
And get rid of the challenge. Burn the challenge. Fine.
Yeah, big time.
You're talking about getting the ball back towards midfield or wherever they were. Philadelphia was rushing up. Devontae Smith was clearly being like, I don't know. Let's get the playoff. Throw the flag in that moment and have a turnover on downs early in this game before Brock Purdy gets hurt.
Hundo P, as the kids would say.
Oh, gosh.
You have to throw the challenge flag there.
Yes.
Have to. This is. I know it's early. I get it. Yeah. I know it's super early in the game. But, man, like you're looking at the prospects of getting the ball back dang near midfield. Not quite, but, you know, you get the point. Or them getting the ball at the five-yard line with a fresh set of downs. And you've got a young quarterback who he was still healthy at the time. But in a road environment, on a tough place to play against a really good team, you want to give him every opportunity to succeed.
Can we remember a game like this where a team has been so handcuffed that they literally cannot throw the football? When's the last time this has happened?
Yeah, the Denver game when they had Kendall Hinton as their quarterback.
I thought you were going to say your boy Tebow.
The Kendall Hinton one. If you want to talk about a playoff game, it wasn't injury, but both teams were pretty much unable to throw in that what was that New England game where Mac Jones threw like two passes because of the wind?
Buffalo.
Was that the playoff game or was that the regular season?
It was a regular season game against Buffalo. They won that game, I think. The other triple option. They hadn't planned.
It was like an Army-Navy game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the year before his. So in 2014, when Manning's arm had fallen off and they didn't know it yet, and they had lost the Colts, they had scored on the first drive and they didn't score like the rest of the game. Like they couldn't get anything going. He was terrible. So that game was one I remember. But, man, other than that, it's hard to see because this was – I mean, and you could joke. You could make jokes about, oh, this quarterback can't throw, so anytime they've quarterbacked, it's been the same thing. But this was on a different level.
And look, I'm not saying it because it's Philly. I'm not trying to be a hater. I can't – I'm not impressed by anything the Eagles did because they knew – they literally knew – that San Fran was running the football every single time. Like, so Jalen Hurts did not look that impressive to me. God, I'm like morphing into Bobby slowly. It's sad.
Come to the dark side.
And it's a sad, disgustingly state of affairs. But I was like, Jalen Hurts, he's missing his throws and opportunities. He had A.J. Brown a couple times, missed him. This little high school, I'm starting to feel like Choppy hating these gimmicks with this gimmicky offense. You should hate Philadelphia as well with the way they run their offense. But
I love running quarterbacks, though. But yes, in general, I hate like, you know, gimmicky.
If you love running quarterbacks, then you have to love the option and the wildcat and stuff.
No, because those, a lot of times those aren't using quarterbacks, right? Those are using like running backs. But okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
This is all design Hurts runs.
Yeah.
But Philadelphia tackled well. That's the nice thing I could say. And Miles Sanders had a couple runs to finish off drives. So they win, and the Empire State Building in New York stabs the city in the back. The reason we do headlines is because of the New York papers. The Daily News front page is Evil Empire with a shot of Jalen Hurts and the building. And then New York Post is Bird Brains talking about the Empire State Building being green for filthy.
I prefer Evil Empire. They're both good, but Evil Empire is really good.
Evil Empire, it's well done. It's really well played.
But look, I was rooting for, Chop and I were rooting for Philadelphia in this game. Lose the Super Bowl, but win this. I didn't want to see San Francisco advance. Cannot have it. Hate their fans. Hate their media. So Peyton decided this morning to spy on the game in California. Peyton, set us up.
Yeah, so first off, UPS Man and Butcher Boy were at Lincoln Field in Philadelphia. They were at the game. And there were tears, definitely tears. But they actually stayed in Philadelphia and did the show at WIP. I've never heard of that before. Is that common?
Well, we've had Brandon Tierney, BT. He's come in and done his show from here for WFAN.
We did ours in Miami.
We did ours in Miami
when they went to the NBA Finals. It's customary. That's a 6-hour flight almost, right? I don't know if they're getting back there after the game in time to do their show. Maybe they could have. Who knows?
Right. So we played Philadelphia audio earlier on, and they were kind of throwing jabs at the San Francisco fan base and stuff. And San Francisco did the same thing, but vice versa. They threw the jabs at Philadelphia and stuff, which, I mean, if you're going to say both fan bases are the worst, someone's lying here. You can't both be number one here. And this is how the Morning Roast started off their show.
Oh, baby. You didn't think we were going to be here, huh? No, we're here. We're live in Philadelphia, 94 WIP here on the Morning Roast. Good morning to everybody out there getting ready for work. Everybody back in the Bay Area, graveyard shift workers, longshoremen, plumbers, electricians, ushers, you name it. It wasn't our day yesterday as the Niners get clobbered by the Eagles, 31-7. We know what happened to Brock Purdy. We know what happened to the non-challenge. We know what happened at the end with Trent Williams. But let's start here, Shasky, as I say good morning to you. Good morning to Joe Spadoni. Yeah. Good morning to Sam Lutman. We're out here in Philadelphia live, and we've got our Niners gear on. And I got to say, these little fake gangsters out here in Philadelphia, I can't stand them. It is by far the worst fan base in the world. Not even close. Hands down, the smugness around this studio.
Unbelievable.
Here at 2400 Market Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Oh. And all these little losers out here, fans, fake gangsters. Philadelphia is now number one on my hit list. They're number one. They've catapulted the Seahawks. They've catapulted the Cowboys. They've catapulted the Raiders, the Rams. You name it, the Packers. The Philadelphia Eagles are public enemy number one for the rest of my life.
That hurt, man. No more Cowboys being number one.
So FedEx had tweeted yesterday that his walk into the stadium was like, he didn't even go into it. It sounded like it scarred him.
It's like, it's very intimidating.
And all the 49er fans.
Fake gangsters, huh?
And all the 49er fans are like, yeah, man, East Coast out there, that's different. Like, that's ugly out there.
Listen,
and he's like 6'7", I think.
He's
so
a big guy,
he's standing out.
Yeah, he's so hard to.
I can't stand him.
I can't say what he sounds. The only good thing, like, that was great intro music. That's Snoop. That's a legendary song. But. That is unlistenable.
I thought I had allergy issues, but listen to Angelo Cataldi and Amazon and how stuffed up they are.
Hang on. Don't credit him like that.
They're so stuffed.
Okay, they deliver literally the same day.
Oh, okay.
Don't credit him like that.
Okay.
Don't go Amazon. That's low.
All right, Postmate.
USPS.
USPS.
Yes, give USPS. There it is.
So something about them Philly fans got to him, which I love.
Now, last week, Sean, you were talking all about, you know, the scumbag San Francisco 49er fan base and stuff and what they did to you and RJ and everything. Well,
attacking families over the line, going to families over the line.
Right, and I guess the Morning Roast, they didn't see eye to eye with that. You know, in their eyes, they're like, oh, our lovable fan base. They would never do such thing. And so the guys actually praise their 49er fan base right here. Listen to this.
Eagle fans are the biggest scumbag lowlifes I've ever met in my entire life.
They're fake gangsters. They're thugs. What they did yesterday, they were thuggish.
If that was our beautifully colored crowd, okay, where we've got white, Latino, Asian, black, we would have been considered gangsters what they did to us yesterday.
The balls of these people to get in our faces and call us things. It's not only just the guys. It's the women. The women may be worse.
You put out a video yesterday because we had videos. I had to put the phone in my pocket because we literally had our head on a swivel. Things were being thrown, dumped, poured. It was disgusting. And I mean real. Our fan base showed so much pride.
Yes.
I am so proud of Niner fans. I don't want to hear a damn thing about Niner fans not being hardcore, diehard, real good, loyal, classy fans.
No, you know, a couple of these people were talking, and I would turn around, and they'd be like, hey, man, it's just a game. It's just a game. So you're a little punk. You want to call people the P word, and you want to call them the F word.
We were going to the bathroom. You like jumped in front of me.
Together?
Guy elbows me, and he just spits on me. I'm like, you got to be. I looked at him like, come on, man.
It was embarrassing. These little people around here, WIP, talking their trash.
Well,
94 WIP, little smug. Well, that's just how it is out here. They're the lowest of the lowest. They're the losers. You suck. Shut up. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. So someone popped their head in and yelled during their show and their broadcast.
Our fan base would never do such things.
It's a fake bit here, right?
It's so fake.
They lost, so they were trying to find a way to disparage because they can't disparage the team that just beat them. So they got to go up to the people in the city. Now everybody knows Philadelphia's low hanging fruit when you trash your fans in their city. But nobody spit on them. Nobody spit on them. They're having a fight. Nobody spit on them. You don't think 6'8 Bonte Hill is going to do something if someone spits on him? The average height of a Philadelphia guy is like 5'4". Okay? It's crazy. That's not really true. The point is, a 6'8 guy's not getting spit on.
Well, Ruben.
No, you'd have to aim up and then it'd come back down on you.
Ruben was tweeting yesterday before the game. He was saying...
I had to think for a second who Ruben was. The butcher boy, I get it.
Salisbury Steak was saying that this is a great city. This is amazing. Everyone's talking trash. This is the way it should be. I mean, that's what...
Yeah.
That's what Turkey Club was tweeting beforehand. The same thing. So...
You got to switch up once you lose. Changes
it up.
Got to do the bit. But it just sounds so bitty. You know, like that's the way the crosstalks would go. But I'm so happy. It's so awesome. And now if just Philadelphia can lose to Kansas City, we'll get the 2-for-2. It'll be perfect. It'll be fantastic.
Didn't they have Ishka Bibbles too out there?
Oh, yeah.
They had Bobby's favorite cheesesteaks.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
So Head Cheese said, man, this Ishka Bibbles out here, this was amazing. And nothing brought me greater joy than to text that to Bobby Belt, who went to this cheesesteak place. And we mocked him for it. We made fun of him for it. The Eagles radio team made fun of Bobby for picking this place. And for him and Swiss Chard to go to the same exact cheesesteak place and unify like that, kindred spirits, the same person, I thought it was lovely.
It doesn't matter, though, because I didn't like it. Okay, so I didn't like it. Shaved or sliced said he loved
you
it.
Went to,
and so that's
you,
not...
You found it because of... TripAdvisor,
no
Yelp,
no,
yeah,
no.
You went to some Zagat.
Honestly, the reason why it stood out to me is because Kyle Pitts, who's from Philadelphia, argued for it so hard when he said no, that's the spot.
Yeah,
he's like anybody from Philadelphia knows that's one of the legit spots. So I was like, okay,
yeah. So then egg salad went there and he loved it. And that's not a meat. I went away from the butcher.
Way to screw it up,
Way to
Sean,
screw it up.
Geez.
So there they are. They're miserable. It sounds like they were harassed. I absolutely love it. So there you go. San Francisco eliminated.
By the way, is there like they're talking about these fake gangsters? Blah, blah, blah. Is there anything like more fake gangster than like sitting in the comfort of like the WIP studios in a corner and like now you're talking all this like tough guy trash?
Where were the videos of you doing that yesterday back to the Eagle fan?
Or like when we were like cross-talking with them a couple weeks ago and it wasn't until like three segments later that they're like, get Bobby Boucher back on the phone. I'm going to fly him out here and fight him.
Bobby
like,
Boucher.
Oh, yeah, now that we're not
like, do you know
there.
What it takes to get us to root for the Eagles?
A lot. Oh, people were pissed at me yesterday, but they didn't understand. They didn't hear it.
Yeah, they get over it. They didn't hear it. They don't understand. They don't.
And why are you supporting a team? It's not that much better. You're supporting a team who eliminated you in back-to-back years.
Now, some people believe in that, right? That you root for the team that beat you to go further because that
justify.
You lost to the champ.
Yeah.
You were basically the runner-up.
What was I going to do? Yeah. You know, they beat everybody else. They were the champs, right?
Yeah.
So I understand that, but the way San Francisco treated us, the hosts, And just in general, like, yeah, you know, it's just, oh, it's so disappointing.
Yeah. So I'm happy. I was happy yesterday, and the final missing piece will be filthy losing to Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. As the AFC Championship game was starting, though, Jerry Jones decided to interfere with Conference Championship Sunday. Kellen Moore is out. Y'all got your way. Let's go behind the move with Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, to talk about Kellen and Mike McCarthy calling the plays next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.